When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. And though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Psalm 27, verses 2 and 3. Before the actual conflict, while as yet the battle is untried, the warrior's heart, being held in suspense, is very liable to become fluttered. The encamping host often inspires greater dread than the same host in the actual affray. And though battle should succeed battle, and one campaign should be followed by another, the believer will not be dismayed at the length of the conflict. Charles Spurgeon. This is being prepared. The conflict, this war that humanity is in, whose purpose is well known, a battle of good versus evil, Satan warring against Almighty God, and the battlefield is creation. War was declared upon the earth the day that Eve was asked in the garden, "Did God really say?" Wars over the generations have been started with the intent to conquer. Few have a beginning as a start to freedom, and yet all end with the fight becoming a cry of the people. The Hebrew nation was led out of Egypt with the destination of the Promised Land. And to a people God had chosen for himself, he would give this land, tying them to himself and blessing them, giving to them the honor and the privilege of being called chosen and being his people and he their God. He described the land as one filled with milk and honey, vineyards, abundance of all that they would need in their daily life. And he would be their protector. He was their deliverer. He was going to make a way through them to draw the world back to himself, and so he gave to them everything they could need to do and complete the task presented to them. They would fail in their commitment to him. They would fall prey to the pagan ways around them, giving themselves to idol worship, neglecting prayer, as they wanted to be like the world. They wanted to go along to get along. A phrase too often heard and used today, it is a statement of submission to an idea of oppression, and tolerance will only be adopted when submission is complete. They felt the heaviness of God's hand upon them as he gave them over to what they desired. It was not God's will they sought, but a compromise to live in this world through false peace and false gods, participating in false worship, and like the rest of the world, they would rebel against God. In the story of mankind, history repeats itself as the Europeans began to filter over to North America. These people who were Christians by faith were being persecuted in Europe, and so they set sail under the watch of the Lord, landed on these shores, established a nation under his watch, and they were blessed. But like Israel, the rich blessings soon began to turn the hearts of the people. And with each passing generation, the distance between God and the people of the nation grew. Great money, great power, brought great corruption. And soon lies became truth, death became life, hope became hopelessness, and success and happiness were determined by the size of one's house, the make of their clothes, the style of their cars, where they went to school, and with all of the wealth, the possibilities were endless. And more was never enough, and enough could not be had, and time became a commodity, and the price attached was the destruction of the family, death of morals and conscience, and a love that has grown stone cold towards God. When times were good, they and we ignored him, and then we cried, and they cried out to him when times got hard. Lamentations. Have you ever looked at the book of Lamentations? It is the heart of God being poured out over the obstinacy of a people who were given so much, and yet never do they find any satisfaction, and they turn to things perverse and deadly, and they have, as a nation, made themselves enemies of the God who loves them. It is God who is pouring out his wrath, but he did not destroy Israel as he had done to Sodom or Gomorrah, but he let her be conquered, and the people sent into exile. His compassion for them never failed, and his love for them never faltered. There are many ways to face exile, but they all come to the same end, a forced separation brought about as being taken into captivity. It is being carried away, departing from. What this means is that what was available to you no longer is, because you did not see to fulfill your commitment to honor it. And therefore it bears no weight with you, and in your openness to other ways, you find yourself being taken captive by them. And you depart from what you knew, and here it's God, and now under the authority of the one opposing God, Satan. And from there you will remain until such a day as God once again intervenes and delivers you from out of the hand of your captor. Israel openly participated in sacrifices, both to God and to idols, and she wore on her sleeve, one on each arm, a banner for God and a banner for the things of the world, for false gods, and for her divided devotion. She suffered separation from truth and slipped into chaos and the pain that accompanies darkness and all that it hides. We are, on the other hand, we've watched the rise and fall in the number of souls calling themselves Christians. We have hidden for generations our divided devotions, as there were numerous places of worship, even in the small towns, and each had a parking lot full of cars to show the number of people attending inside. But the word had become somehow showing signs of distortion, and the love of God now a mirror to the love of the world. And the fullness of God was not being proclaimed, that he was a zealous God, that he would pour out his wrath on those who would rebel against him. It was the fullness of who he was withheld from the people. And so the balance called in for a Christian's life was too light on one end and too heavy on the other. Maybe it was a reflection of the culture during this same time. Discipline of children was under threat, and so within the church, God's children were being shown no signs of reverent fear of God, and those yet in the world saw rebellion begin to rise as the truth was being held from them. Both the church and parents were filtering the truth, and today we see before us the openness of rebellion. Within the church, a different gospel was being taught, a different Christ was being displayed, a different word was being delivered, and a different Christian life being encouraged. One lacking the courage to stand firm against the things of the world had now chosen to go along to get along. And it is not the people who were called to change, but it was God himself that needed to change to keep up with the times. Nation by nation is being torn asunder as their marriage covenant with God is being cast aside, as the love of the nation, the love of the people continues to grow cold, and the fear of God is no longer known by people forsaking him, turning away from him. His wrath will rise up, and from it pain and sorrow, grief will fall upon the earth. What we are seeing being made witness to today has been for generations in the making. With every good thing God has given, evil has found a way to implement a counterpart and to use it. And as there are always more than enough hearts denying God, that willingly will do the devil's bidding. Within the churches today are many wolves in sheep's clothing, but you will not recognize them if you do not have a real and intimate relationship with the Lord, if you have not a reverent fear of the Lord, but rather fear what man can do to you, or in other words, care more for your possessions and your reputation than your soul. Truth is not truth unless it is from and of the very words of God himself. And today more than ever, even in the printed words of devotions and newer translations of the Bible, they are taking leave by subtle and direct word choices that change context, change meaning, and opens imaginary doors and gives false feeling of hope. You sing hymns, you throw some money in the plate, you bow in prayer, you listen to the sermon, but do you intimately know the one who is being acknowledged in these things? Do you seek his face? Do you look for him in all things, seek his guidance, and ask him to reveal those things to you that need changing, and then let him change them within by the power of his truth and the authority of his word? There's only one truth, one God, one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Come out of those places of compromise. Come out of exile and walk into the light. This journey we are on at this time as people and churches, nations, as the entirety of the world, is about to become a wilderness so hot that many will succumb to its heat. Many more will die of thirst and hunger, and there will be no shade, nowhere to run and hide or rest for those who deny the prince of this world. And many will fall prey to the promise of peace and comfort if only they will go along to get along. Seek the peace of Jesus. It will give you strength to endure, the wisdom of that to speak and when to be silent. And it will give you rest as you enter green pastures and sit by still waters, even in the heart of the wilderness. And draw from remembrance his word, his encouragement, and stand on his faithfulness. Lord, help me to believe, forgive me for my doubts, and lead me to a place where truth lives and the remnant gathers, a place where the fullness of God is revealed. In your name, Jesus, amen.